Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Read it off sliced bread.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Clint, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sturdy's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dirty's Daily presented by Wonderful Pistachios. Honey roasted is my favorite flavor.
And skin marks.
Every day I'm bringing a new one to somebody buys, and I'm bringing a new one.
He's going to be
from my life. From my life. It was all the fellas that wear white draws yesterday. What was it the day before, Tyler? It was True Fruit.
Yep.
And then today is Wonderful Pistachios, man. We're out at Buffalo Wild Wings, Richie and 45. Richie Road and 45. Come on through. Be like Andrew, man. You hear us on the radio. Come on through and hang out with us. It is a boneless Thursday. What is that? Buy one, get one free. Boneless,
that's right.
Boneless Thursday. Tyler, you'd have a field day here with these boneless wings, brother. You would have a field day.
Just now a they miniature got regular version of a tender.
I don't know if they have them. Them little ain't nothing miniature about these joints, but they're nice. I don't know if they got those little beers that you like to drink, but they do have Bud Light.
I like to.
They do have Bud Light in the building. Come on through, hang out with us. Tyler, you cannot come hang out or win the gift card, but anybody else out there listening absolutely can. Texas Star Grill Shop, I know that's one of your favorite spots, Ron.
That's right.
Yeah, my father-in-law, who him and Ron have a lot in common in that category there, boy, they can't get enough of that cooking meat now. I mean, the smoking meat, grilling meat, what else can you do to it? Bake it.
Saute it.
There you go. You do it all, don't you? So does old father-in-law. They get over to that Texas Star Grill Shop, and they got a meat market there as well. I believe you'd call it a meat market, but all that high-dollar stuff. But get on by Texas Star Grill Shop. Get on by here. You can win a gift card. Hadn't given it away yet. There's a mini projector as well that we're giving away courtesy of Bud Light. Obviously, the Bud Light girls are here. As well, we got a big game tonight, so good, plenty of reason to come on by Buffalo Wild Wings. If you can't get to this location, get to any location. We'd greatly appreciate it. The Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles, 4-1 versus the Giants, 1-4. Big NFC showdown here. I think this is going to be a much better game, Ron, than one may think.
I do too. Just
look at the records. You got a team that's kind of emerging. That's got some young stars that seem to be at least capable of getting hot for a little streak. I don't know if they're going to have 20-year careers here and win Super Bowls, but I think Jackson Bart and Scataboo and some of the Giants, I think they're easy to root for. They might get hot. Then you got the Eagles, who's the best. It's the worst 4-1 football team in the league, if you hear other folks tell it. A.J. Brown can't get targets and catches. I don't think Saquon Barkley's had a 100-yard game this year. It's been the first longest stretch without a 100-yard game, I think, in his career. So, Eagles 4-1, Giants 1-4, 7:15 p.m. kickoff. Get down to your nearest Buffalo Wild Wings. Also, a little announcement here. We are over in Katy tomorrow, Boomer Jacks, 1110-1110 Grand West Parkway over in Katy. And we'll be giving away some Texans tickets tomorrow. So, if you can't get here today, Buffalo Wild Wings, come on through Boomer Jacks tomorrow and see if you can't win them tickets. We'll also have some other giveaways there as well. All right, the Texans, they're on the heels of two impressive wins, Tennessee Titans, Baltimore Ravens, and they are staring down the pike at the Seattle Seahawks. They got 2 weeks to prepare. This week there's a bye week. They got 2 weeks to prepare. It's next Monday night in primetime versus the Seattle Seahawks, and the Seattle Seahawks are a really good football team thus far. I've watched them a few times, Ron. I think Seattle's for real. Now, I say for real. I think what I mean is what we've seen from them is an above-average football team in this league, a team that, you know, if they continue to get better as the season goes along here, definitely a playoff-caliber team, definitely a team that could have double-digit wins, you know, definitely a team that could get into the playoffs and make a little bit of noise, potentially. They are for real. That's who's up next for the Houston Texans. And the question is, what we saw in the two previous games that allowed them to win 26-0, and I believe it was 44-10, in those two games, outscore their opponents 70-10. Some of the things that we saw, Ron, we saw great push by the offensive line, tight ends, and wide receivers in the run game. We saw I singled out Xavier Hutchinson and Dalton Schultz. I thought those two guys really stood out in the run game in a sense of how they were able to get a hat on a hat, run their feet, move mass, and do some really good things. I think the double teams by the offensive line, I think it's a change in scheme. I think it's a change in approach to run blocking. Which gives me hope, but there was serious push up front at times. I mean, there was a lot of space for the running backs. Number one, that's number one. Number two, separation by the pass catchers. Obviously, when eight different receivers catch balls in a game and 10 different guys are targeted, then there's clearly some separation being created with these pass catchers. A lot of guys, which we had not seen create separation in the pass game to date, right? I mean, we hadn't seen Noel at all hardly on the offense. We definitely have not seen, you know, I think Xavier Hutchinson to the tune of two touchdowns in a game. I know we've seen some good plays out of him. Not don't want to minimize those at all, but going into a game where you're just creating separation and making big catches and they're resulting in touchdowns, I think that's probably, you know, his best game. So, you know, there was definitely separation created. And this is one that B. Scott mentioned yesterday, Ron, that got me to think about this question and this topic, right, is they really cut down on the penalties. They really seemed to address the penalties and clean up that part of the game. And these are all three things, whether we're talking about the push in the run game, the separation by the pass catchers, or the fact that there was only a few penalties. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that the opponent was so bad. The opponent didn't have the ability to either not let them create separation, not give up so much push, didn't have the ability to fight through and obviously create opportunities where penalty flags were thrown. How much of what I mentioned in there, because I think we all watched the film, we all watched the game, we know what was going on at a crazy level. How much of that do you think transitions to a Monday night game against Seattle?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that translate is the mindset and the potential of what you're trying to execute.
Yep.
Clint, I need to see a little bit more to see if this offensive line is just going to be able to move people the way they did. You know, especially against Baltimore, we still saw Jeffrey Simmons and the Titans front at times give them problems. And then the second half, we saw Woody break out, so that feels a little bit more real. But and the separation, like, I mean, Christian Kirk's, I mean, he was just running. You didn't even see another guy in the angle. And, I mean, that back shoulder throw, they're putting on to even trust to throw that ball to Hutch. Yep. Maybe we'll see more confidence in that. But to me, the biggest thing that I see that translates, because I agree with you, I think all of those, there are still questions to that. Because I don't know that I'm ready to say that the Texans are just a physically or an athletic-driven team that can just win like that on non-guys that aren't Nico and some others. But I do think the mindset of, hey, get it out quick. Cecil said it earlier this week. Let's get the ball out quick. Let's get it over to Dalton Schultz real quick. Let's not fool around. Let's see if we can get Woody Marks. If he catches it and he gets four, great. He breaks a tackle, that could be – you know, 10 to 12.
Big play.
I think that part of it offensively, I do definitely think that translates for CJ. And it's really believable, Clint, because it's what we saw from CJ when we've seen him at his best. So that I think is the biggest thing that translates. Now, I don't know that it results in 26-0. I don't know that results into 70 to 10 like it was the last two games. But I do think that's That's what I'm talking about. My man got double fisted.
Champ said, "The hell with
the hell with
two
the
dog.
I see that he ain't sticking that fast."
Hey, didn't splash a bit of foam either.
I mean, he got one in his hand. He walking over here like he got somebody else sitting with him. I mean, nah, man, he gonna take them two. But I think that part is really the thing that I can see that moves over.
Well, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I think that is ultimately the. I mean, the elephant in the room is if they, you know, the Nick Cayley, C.J. Stroud. I'm going to be honest with you, though, man. It's crazy to think that we're here. The push that this offensive line was getting, and really because, like I said, that clearly Cole Popovich changed something. Like, hey, man, don't you guys stay on these tackles. You stay on the down lineman. Don't worry about the linebacker, which I love, because if you give a running back space to operate, they're hard to tackle. You give them a two-way go and not say, hey, man, the only thing you can do right here is bounce this thing, then they're easy to pursue, right? When you give them a two-way go, I think you're on to something. I think you can actually move the needle and run the football. And I think that translates. I think it translates to Monday night. I think this offensive line is – they're built in a way, too, to where once they smell taste a little bit of success
– yeah.
I would think that it's going to go a long way. But I think the push in the run game, I think it transitions. Now, I don't think it transitions to the tune of what we saw the last previous 2 weeks, but I do think we're watching that Seattle game and we're watching an offensive line that's getting some good push in the run game. And I do think the penalties, I think that was real. I think cleaning up the penalties was a big part of over these 2 weeks, but I think that's a part of knowing who the hell you are, knowing what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Yeah.
And I don't think – as we watch the Texans offensive line play, with the exception of maybe the rookie, like I don't watch it and go, yeah, man, they're gonna get outmanned. Like they just don't have the talent. Like I know a lot of people don't like this, but like when you look at Juice, when you look at Jake Andrews, when you look at Ingram, definitely Titus, I think all those guys you look up and sure Jeffrey Simmons is gonna whoop them every now and then. But against your typical defensive lines, I think those guys are going to be fine. Ariante Ursery may need a little help, but I think those other guys are going to be fine. So I say all that to say I think
that's fair. Titus has appeared to be more physical this year than we've ever seen him.
Well, when you look up, like I think Ariante Ursery is probably the only guy that up there that I think is going to consistently need a little help as you play better opponents. I think he's the only guy that's going to have the propensity to get beat and have to hang on and maybe get – because one, he's on the edge.
I'm still on the fence with Juice. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I'm not super confident in any of them, but I'm talking about to where penalties could become a problem. Like, it wouldn't shock me one bit if we look up and Ariante Ursery in the fourth quarter's got four penalties in a game.
Yeah, three.
Because he's hanging on. You know what I mean? But
to the point that you just made, though, knowing who you are, the Texans, like they had against Jacksonville, shouldn't have a lot of straight, no play action, straight seven step drops.
Yeah.
That he has to hold up for long stretches.
Sure. They've got to protect him with the play.
And they've
call
done better with that. Play. Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. I think that's going to be. I mean, this question. I know it's a broader question, but I think that is going to be. To me, if this stuff transitions into Monday night versus Seattle, look out. The Texans are going to get to 3-3. They're going to come home for three straight home games, and they got a chance to really move the needle and get back in the mix. If not, if all this stuff disappears, which, by the way, I'll remind you, it's pushed by the O-line, tight ends, wide receivers in the run game, separation by the pass catchers, and keep the penalties down. If those things all disappear and become a problem again, then it's going to be long. Right, but if these things are all present, even to a smaller degree, if they're still present, man, look out. The Texans are really on to something. And I don't have a problem leaning into, they've figured some things out. So you listen to Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. I'm Clint Stern alongside Ron Ugly. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings up Ritchie Road off 45 in Ritchie Road. Come on through and hang out with us. Big shout out to Bud Light for making it happen. I see a lot of cold Bud Light floating around the room here. Come on through and grab you one, Ron. I got a question real quick on we in the crosstalk. I asked B. Scott about it with the Rockets. Just sitting back listening to you guys talk about it, man. I feel like not just me, but I feel like we could potentially have been too focused on Amen Thompson's development. Because here's the deal, I was thinking.
And what's that? What do you mean?
Got to shoot. Got to shoot. Got to shoot. Got to be able to shoot. Got to be able to knock it down. Got to be able. With Reed, Shepard, and KD being able to fill it up, assuming Reed can do it in regular season play, I don't know that it matters whether Amen Thompson develops this. Now, it'd be lovely. It'd be a beautiful thing if all of a sudden he develops this shot. Because that was my concern, is like he's just not a natural, pure, just jump shooter, right? And so that was a concern of like, that's not going to happen overnight. But the more you watch it, it's like, does that really matter?
My thing was always, can he take the next step as a player? Not necessarily as a shooter. And I think some people would just think, all right, him taking the next step as a player is a shooter, is being a better shooter. Yeah, you hope so. Listen, he's already past the Ben Simmons criteria, right? Like, Ben just wouldn't take him, right? Like, he wouldn't – like, it wouldn't even – like, we'll see. I don't know if people are going to just flat stand in the middle of the lane and double-team off of him like that. Still, to me, that's dicey because, unlike Ben, he's aggressive and he will – a running start to the lane will give you hell. I just think he needs to take the next step as a player, right? I didn't think he was aggressive enough at what he does well, and that's get to the cup and finish around the rim and shoot his mid-range – float game and all of that stuff. Like, if he averages efficiently, you know, between 18 and 20 points a game with all of the other things that he's able to do,
right?
Like, I mean, you look at his performance yesterday. I mean, we're 19.7 rebounds, 6 assists in 25 minutes with 2 steals and a block, and he is in damn near every game he plays the best all-around defender on the floor. Like, that's all NBA conversation stuff, right? That's going to take them to the next level, and you have other guys spacing the floor for him that allows him to be able to do the things that he's good. Russell Westbrook still can't shoot,
right?
And he has been a good player, and I don't suggest that he keeps that Amen starts just acting like he can shoot.
Look at that. I think for me, Ron, it's less about like Thompson developing for Thompson. And more, what does the team need him to develop to be the best version? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, his development, he appears to be an extremely hard worker. I mean, effort and energy and hard work is not a problem. But the thing to me is, like, what do the Rockets need Amen Thompson to be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that is
they
the deal.
I think they need him to improve his game. That's what I think. I don't think they need him to come in and shoot 35% from three. Be great.
Yeah, right.
You know what it'd be great. Shoot. 34 at the, yeah. You know, it would be great. Just like yes, would Şengün improve on shooting 23% from 3, would that be a big help? That's not what they just need him to continue to take steps, right? So,
well, they've clearly, as a team, you've clearly got voids, right? And who fills those voids is kind of where I'm at with the Rockets, of like, okay, now that Fred VanVleet is out, like, who's going to fill that point guard role? Because, I mean, maybe you can, and it's by committee, and it's multiple guys. But that's kind of how I'm viewing the development part of this thing, is like, who's going to make this team the best? What do certain guys need to do to make the Rockets the best version of the Rockets?
Yes. Yep. And I just think him improving his game, right? I think it's dumb. If you're like, all right, man, he's gonna improve his game, man. He's gonna come out here and he's gonna shoot threes. He's not gonna drive to the basket. He's gonna shoot. That's what he's gonna do. No, that's stupid. All right, to me, if he gets it, if he takes them, that's fine. But go do what you do. Like he hasn't reached the ceiling on the things he's good at. Like let's do that. I'm glad you brought that up because I want to go to the other dude. Şengün, he's got damn near 20 assists in 2 preseason games with this group. What's the ceiling on him? We've talked a lot about the ceiling on Amen Thompson. We've talked a lot about the ceiling on Reed Shepard and all this. Şengün was an all-star. Is this a dude that could be, like, better than that? Is this a dude that could be the best player on a team? We'll discuss that coming up next.
I'm so high on the Rockets.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings at I-45 in Ritchie, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right. Welcome back in. There you go. I stand corrected. My man did. He didn't just go get them two drinks for himself. I thought he was double-fisted about to go just, I mean, just no hand.
And it would have been fine.
It would have been fine. It would have been three in a row. It would have been fine. But, no, man, he had a lovely lady coming in to join him. And that's what I'm talking about. Get in here. And it's a good little early start to a date.
Chivalry ain't dead.
Yeah, you're right, man. Get out here. Have you enjoy you some time. Hopefully they make some bad decisions. And you get out here and you can enjoy yourself and have a good time as well. Congratulations to our first winner. As we will hook somebody else up in the 5 o'clock hour. It's a projector on the line. You, if you're in the building or you're on your way, if you have not signed up and put your name in our raffle box, that gives you the opportunity and the chance to win later on in the 5 o'clock hour. Someone text in, can a man become the next Russell Westbrook? I'm good.
Ninja Turtle?
Like, you're good in what way? Are you telling me right now that if you would not press the button right now if Amen Thompson wasn't Russell Westbrook? You're telling me, are you? I'd press that button. I'd press that button right now. I would press the button that he was a first. If he was a first ballot Hall of Famer, I do. But I think he is a different player. But I think from the same mindset, I think he should improve his game, but I don't think he needs to go over the top and just say, man, I'm going to turn myself into a shooter. Right? I think he can improve his shooting over the years, but do all the other things that he's great at. We can see plenty of examples of guys who came in the league, struggled with their shot, improved it a bit, but they didn't just say that's what I'm going to be or get lost in themselves. Derrick Rose is another one like that that improved his jump shot but didn't try to make that his game. Clint, I want to go to the other guy. We've talked a lot about Amen Thompson and his development and what it would mean for him with KD and this group, and I think that is a fair thing. But Alperen Şengün is also just 23 years old, and he was – He was an all-star. There you go. He was an all-star, and he makes everybody happy. He was an all-star last year. And I think a lot of the attention, as you said earlier, is it's going to Amen Thompson. The thought is, what could Şengün be? I mean, you look at these first two games, and they've been easy to hit. Like, it is. Like, there's been no matchup. Now, it's just preseason. But there's been no matchup for him. Like, it's like he's almost toying with guys. He's got almost 20 assists in these two preseason games, and he played, you know, in the offseason in for his country, and he looked really confident there. He looked really confident towards the end of the season. I think maybe that's a place that I'll speak for myself that maybe I haven't given enough thought to is, what does Alperen Şengün look like? How does he take 19, 10, and 5 to another level with the addition of better players around him? Maybe his ceiling is a little bit higher than maybe some people think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's – for me, it would definitely have to be higher than I thought. Because yeah. I didn't – I'll be honest with you, I never looked at him as a guy that could be a one.
But I mean, the
point is, I mean, you're talking about 14th best player going into the season, and you're talking about first or second team all NBA. I mean, at that point, you're definitely talking a one. I mean, maybe a 1B, but you're definitely talking a one. I don't know. I don't know where
he definitely down the stretch last year
when he had to. Yeah,
he was the first option when mm-hmm. Jalen went into the tank, but.
Well, yeah. To your overall point is, I mean, if he were able to do that in critical moments of a season without a lot of help, now you got KD, now you got a Reed Shepherd that can shoot, you got the Tari Eason and all these guys around him that are expected to be significantly better or at least developed to be a better player. So, yeah, he should be better. We'll see how much.
Yeah, text line, he's the next superstar text line. Ooh. He's a little joker. Like, that comparison is clearly the one that a lot of people look at. But I've always looked at it like, all right, hey, man, he may be in the same, you know, ballpark in terms of skill set, being a 6'11", 7-foot guy that can pass and shoot. But he's a poor man's Joker.
Yeah, that's a little rich for my blood. Putting him in that company.
But yeah, but if he like this is a guy. I think he could average with the guys around him. He averaged 5 assists last year. Yeah. I could see him, like, if you're talking about a center that's potentially averaging 20, 11, and 7, like, that is at least in the ballpark of Joker. And I've never even thought he was that. But that is very realistic and attainable, right? Someone texting, Alpi was the best player in the world over the summer. And that is his ceiling now. I'm coming into this conversation trying to have a conversation of I think that his ceiling is higher than I thought. Now let's not lose control here and go into best player in the world here. We just talked about the best player. He's a poor man's version, and not just one poor. There's probably about 3 or 4 poors behind that when you compare him to Joker. I just think maybe for me, I've looked at what does Jabari Smith look like with Kevin there and better players around him? What does Amen Thompson look like with better players around him? I'm watching Sengun the last 2 games, and it's like, oh, the space that he has is completely changed with Durant and Shepherd on the floor. And when he kicks the ball out to shooters, they're capable shooters that are going to knock him down at a much higher clip than we've seen him in
I think the only pushback I've got when you start talking about numbers and him taking the next step is KD's. Like, KD's obviously going to be the guy that gets touches.
Yes.
And you can argue last year, definitely late in the season, like really the only guy that they trusted and could depend on to go get a bucket was him. That ain't going to be the case this year.
No, yeah.
But to your point, I mean, there's going to be more space. But I think KD's going to be the guy taking those shots more often. So I wonder how that impacts.
He may. But, Clint, especially watching early, and I know there are people listening who may disagree, I can see them running a lot of offense through Sengun. Like, I can see a lot of let's throw it in the post, and this guy's a great passer, and you know, we'll see what they do if they double, if they're cut off, and like I could see that being a lot of the offense, because it's not a deal if when you throw it in there that there it is, all right, it's just a post move. No, you throw it in there, like he's somebody that's looking to pass, he's somebody that can do that, that's a playmaker. Hell, right now he may be the best playmaker you have on the court right now. I don't think that's really KD, and I think Amen Thompson is somebody that's potentially growing into that. But I don't know, man. I don't know that he's best player in the world. I'm just going to ignore this person who continues to text about he kicked Joker's ass over the summer. Let's just reel it in here, guys. But I think he's got a chance to be much much better. You know, I have been talking like, all right, Amen Thompson's going to be the 2, and he'll be the 3rd. I don't know about that. That may be a mistake. All right, coming up, the Astros made several moves today. We will zero in on one of the moves they made to their coaching staff. And I know many of us want to believe this offense has really turned the corner, but I think it's turned the corner enough to be what they needed to be. We'll discuss that next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings at I-45 in Ritchie, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are a couple of hours into this thing, having a good time here on a Thirsty Thursday. I see the Bud Light girls have been around hooking some folks up with things as well. Look at this. You didn't know he was coming in here getting hooked up like that, did you? Just thought you was going to have to come in here and spend all the money. No, they'll take care of you. Come on out here and have a good time. Shout out to Bud Light, who helped us put these Thirsty Thursdays on alongside with Buffalo Wild Wings every single week. Again, we are, as you heard the big voice guy there, right off Ritchie Road here on off 45. So come on out and hang out with us. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. TV's all over the place. As Clint said earlier in the hour, you got the Giants and the Eagles tonight. They got TVs all over the place for you to check that out. Playoff baseball tonight as the as the Dodgers look to try to finish off the Phillies tonight and the Cubs try to stay alive against the Brewers. You can watch both of those here tonight with one of the TVs all over the place and just enjoy yourself.
That was a better intro into it, and it was smoother for you via the Bud Light girls. Maybe nervous a couple times.
Did I?
Yeah, man.
Mm.
Tyler, maybe I think it was a little creepy one time,
mm.
and then one time it was a little iffy.
Mm.
That was a little smoother right there.
What did I say? What was iffy? What did I say?
That first time you said, "Yeah, Bud Light girls here. I see y'all walking around the place. I see y'all." I said, "What are we doing?"
I did that. That ain't creepy. I just said, "I see you. They walking."
No, you did the way you said it though.
I
was
see
like,
you walking.
Bud Light girls are in the house. Oh, I see them walking around here, walking around the place. Yeah, I see y'all.
I see it. My fault. The Bud Light girls around here. I see y'all walking around. assisting
the
here.
Second time, I can't remember what you said, but it was another
the second,
one.
Second time, I almost got a,
that
I
was
almost
smooth
got my man
right
Chris
there.
In trouble.
That's right. It was Chris.
So you
know what the hell I'm talking
Chris
about.
Chris is out here about to get it in with these Bud Light girls. Yeah. That may be taken out of context.
Don't get him, Topher.
Hey, yeah. every gal out there that her man's named Chris and he listens to Sports Radio 610 right now. Hey, man, was you a Buffalo? Was you up off Richie Road yesterday?
Nah, they ain't calling him.
Christopher!
They calling a friend that's at work with him, calling his boss.
That one was smooth, though. That was a good one, man.
We'll see if we can mess it up a little bit later on. Somebody who done messed up enough to get themselves out of a job, Alex Cintron. Alex Cintron, excuse me, the hitting coach. Did you just clap for Alex? I know it. I know it. That's rude. I mean, all right, so we got people over here here at Buffalo Wild Wings clapping for a man losing his job, Alex Cintron. Oh, yeah, that's what you did. Oh, now it feels a little different now, huh?
I'll do that for the head trainer.
There you go. They're parting ways with him as his contract was up. And they've decided to move on, Clint. This isn't a major surprise, as we've discussed. The Astros' offense for the last couple of years has not looked or operated in the way they've wanted it to. Now, I bet you Alex would sit down and say, "Hey, man, okay, you done gave me 7 space Cowboys in the lineup every night. Damn it, maybe I may have a shot. All right, I mean, can I get Yordan in the lineup?" For maybe more than 60 games. Maybe I can get a shot before I get fired.
It's funny how they say it. What makes a good coach? Good players.
Good players, yeah. Talking about you want us to be patient. Yeah. All right. The leader in the clubhouse. Is he patient? I'm just saying that's probably what Alex just said. Yeah, I can tell Jose Altuve to be patient at the plate as many times as I want to. He's still going to swing at the first pitch. It don't matter what I say or not. But, Clint, with as bad as they've been, there's no surprise that somebody – what was the stat? I think I saw this stat, Tyler, that over half their games they scored 3 runs or less.
Mm-hmm.
I got it for you. They scored 3 or fewer runs in 82 of their 162 games with a 719 OPS. That ranked 7th out of 15 American League teams, so middle of the pack.
Yeah, no, and that is terrible. And, I got no problem with the thought of moving on from Alex Cintron. You know, maybe he just didn't reach. Maybe a new voice. Maybe new ideas. I will say that stat's a little tough, though. I mean, I mean, some of them lineups they were running out there.
Well, now, look,
that,
I mean,
part is a little tough.
This is. I mean, this one to me, this one's really easy. This is a guy that was the previous regime's hitting coach, right? I think this is Jeff Luhnow, I think, right? So it's not Dana Brown's guy. And you go into a season, and Dana Brown and Joe Espada both were very vocal about seeing more pitches, being more patient at the plate, and then the Astros commenced to run out there. And to your point, there was a lot of Sugarland Space Cowboys out there, but the Astros rolled out there and had the second highest chase rate in all of baseball. I mean, if you're not said general manager's hire, if you're not his guy and you've been there for a long time, I mean, you can't go out. He asked you to do one thing. And your lineup doesn't accomplish it. Your job's got to be on the line if that's the case. I mean, to me, that's where this thing that's what made this possible. Now I think really what is Jim Crane? I think the organization told him top two. You got one more go round. You want to do it with the same play callers, or you want to do it with somebody else? And yeah. I think they're doing it with somebody else. But ultimately, Joe Espada went out there and told us all about how important it was to be more patient at the plate and see more pitches. And, hell, I think the only guy in the lineup that accomplished that was my man that they traded for. What's my man at third base that hurt his hamstring?
Oh, yeah, Paredes.
Paredes, about the only one that did that.
Yeah. I got no problem with the move. I would just say if they had similar injury problems next year, I don't know that the hitting coach is going to be that big of a difference from what Alex did. That's all I'm saying is I don't know if the hitting coach is going to be the answer to a lot of these, like all of a sudden this is going to swing around and guys like Jeremy Peña are going to really improve and change their approach.
Jeremy had a damn.
Yeah, and he was pretty aggressive. and you know, at the plate, not taking a lot of pitches as well. I just, we'll see. I think the injuries and having their best guys and their guys, you know, with the ability to play more this year will obviously be the bigger impact than just the hitting coach. Right, we'll see. Maybe he has, for guys like Jesus Sanchez, he's able to unlock something, this new hitting coach.
You picked the one that was chasing everything and anything.
That's the one I was thinking of. He got a hold of him from the Marlins, and you know, he was bad with the Marlins, and it got worse when he came here. And again, maybe there might be an answer. I can understand of like, hey man, we need a new voice. There needs to be a new voice within this thing. All right, I was listening to NFL Live earlier, and you don't have to play this, Tyler, but just a gist of what Mina Kimes was saying earlier today. She said she wants to believe in the Texans' offense, but the biggest thing she has looked and seen over the last game or two is that they can be competent. If they can be competent with how great their defense is, then, you know, they've got a real chance to be a successful team. And to me, that explains how I feel perfectly, Clint, is the one great thing about what D'Amico and them are building in terms of their defense is, like, they don't need for them to win a lot of games for C.J. Stroud and the offense to have performance like they had against the Buccaneers his rookie year, or to have performances like he had against the Bengals his rookie year. They don't need that. They just need those guys not to lose games and not to screw them up and to give their defense a chance, right? Like, I mean, your defense, 9 points, giving your defense 9 points in a game, you gotta be able to give them more than that. And for them to work with that margin of error. But if they are competent, which they've shown to be the last 2 weeks, I think that changes a lot of things. They're able to win, I would say, a lot more games on their schedule than one would look at.
Well, look, I think they're going to have a chance to win every game where they go out there and they can. The formula is competent on offense, elite on defense. I think that's going to win a good chunk of games. Now, is it going to allow you to win the division? Probably not. Is it going to allow you to get into the playoffs? Probably not. Is it going to allow you to improve on last year, this year? No. Probably not. But if we're just looking to be a decent team, if we're just looking to kind of get this thing back on track, I agree. That's the formula to get it done.
Yeah. I think they've got I think that is a realistic thing, right? I think that's a realistic deal of maybe they don't put up 44 points on teams like they did against the Ravens, against better teams. But I think it is realistic to think that CJ and that group can be solid.
I think it's smart. I mean, I think it's smart if that is the current goal for this offense is to just let's go out there, let's be competent, let's not beat ourselves, let's not turn the football over, let's see how many of these things we can carry over from the last two games into Monday Night Football, and just build slowly that way. To go out there to think that we were listening to these guys talking about being super aggressive and stretching the field last year. It's the same group, right? I mean, obviously not the OC and the receiver. I'm just talking about the same team. in less than a year. But the reality of it is, there's a let's get to a competent level versus a good opponent, and then we'll worry about, you know, flourishing and doing some different things.
Yeah, we're not coming back from, you know, tape drop Tuesday, and it's like, this is really bad. This is really bad.
We've had a couple good ones, man.
But I'm just saying, yeah, those good ones came with these last two games. But the first three games, there are moments where, like, this is worse. This is worse than just an early start. They've got to shake loose of those games. And hopefully these last two games put them in a space where they're able – were they able to do that? All right, coming up as we continue, a little 5 o'clock fire here on a Thirsty Thursday. We'll give you the other news. The other news, there are going to be some real big staff changes with the Astros, and the big news that many people were hoping to hear with the Astros. We'll let you know that coming up and get you ready for a little Thursday night football. Eagles at the Giants. It seems like it should be a blowout, but will it be? We'll talk about that coming up.